Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Thursday, August the 27th, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, a nightclub is set to reopen 6 months after a huge fire next door. And a search is on for more volunteers to raise funds to support military veterans in Kent. But first today, a man involved in a so-called dine and dash at a Kent restaurant has been ordered to pay compensation and court costs. Well, Kate joins me now with more on this story. And Kate, we've got some CCTV on the site today. What does it show?
Well, the footage is of Johnny Delaney leaving Stubbs in Ashford, where he'd racked up a £250 bill with a woman and two children. He's seen walking across a car park before getting into a car and driving off without paying in November last year. Kent police were then contacted by the steak and seafood restaurant to report a theft, and Delaney was arrested later that same month.
And while he was at the restaurant, was there any hint at all that he wasn't going to pay for his food?
Well, bosses say he'd initially argued the group left because the food was cold and contained a hare. But the restaurant says the excuse was dismissed as no complaints were made to their waiter and all the food had been eaten. They then posted an appeal on social media to trace the offender and they received an anonymous tip-off. The 44-year-old from Bishopford Road in Morden in Surrey was later charged with making off without payment. He initially pleaded not guilty but changed his plea on the day a trial was due to start.
And what punishment has been handed down?
Well, he's been given a 12-month community order and must pay more than £250 in compensation to the restaurant. On top of that, he's got to pay court costs and a victim surcharge. So the original restaurant bill has now resulted in a financial penalty 8 times the amount he initially avoided paying. He's also been put on a curfew from 6 p.m. until 3 a.m. until the beginning of October.
Now, following the court case, Kate, has there been any response from the restaurant?
Yes, Sally Newman, who's the senior general manager at Stubbs Restaurant, told us this kind of theft places an immense emotional and operational strain on them. She goes on to say that she hopes the sentencing sends a clear message that such behaviour will not be tolerated.
Kate, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a man's appeared in court charged with murder following the death of a dad of three in Ramsgate. Ashley Jones, who was 52, was one of two men found injured near the harbour in the early hours of Sunday. The other's been treated for stab wounds and discharged from hospital. 21-year-old Kieran O'Rourke from Seafield Mews in the town is also accused of attempted murder. He's been remanded in custody. A Tunbridge Wells man has been banned from contacting his family after sending them a series of threatening messages. Zane Goebel sent his brother and sister-in-law, who are both serving police officers, 28 voice notes after they refused him access to his late mother's home. The 51-year-old from North Farm Road has been handed a restraining order. He must also attend rehab. Two people have avoided being sent to prison after a man's jaw was broken in a street attack in Folkestone. A court's been told the victim was repeatedly punched and kicked when violence broke out in Tontine Street in September 2022. Riley Duffin and Oliver Anderton, who are both 21 and from St Luke's Walk in Hawkinge, were convicted following a trial and given suspended sentences. And a suspect's been charged by police investigating several break-ins at homes in and around Deal. Officers were called to Albert Road, where cash was stolen in July. Parcels were then taken from a property in Ripple 2 weeks later. A 24-year-old is due in court and is also accused of offences relating to a car being stolen. Next on today's episode, and a Kent nightclub's reopening later, 6 months after being forced to close following a huge fire next door. The derelict Odeon Cinema in Canterbury's St George's Place went up in flames on Valentine's Day. It left the structure in a dangerous condition and Tokyo Tea Rooms had to stay shut despite not being affected by the blaze. Well, I've been chatting to owner Louise Jones-Roberts.
Obviously, we knew we'd be open again at some point, but it has, 6 months is a long time. And we just can't wait. We're really excited. We've been in the venue, get everything ready. Really excited. Thank you.
As you say there, 6 months. I mean, sometimes you say the year has flown by, but for you, I should think it's been the slowest 6 months of your career. How frustrating has it been?
It's been hard. I mean, I think it's the bit where you don't know, that's what's most challenging, I think. So the first few months were incredibly difficult. But as it's gone on and the Odeon site has been demolished, we could see progress. Things did. We could see light at the end of the tunnel.
And how has that work been going for anyone who perhaps hasn't been down to Canterbury or seen the site recently? What's it looking like now?
Oh, the guys, the demolition team have been phenomenal. There's nothing there. Very, very little. It's just a sort of urban hole. There's a wall up and that's it.
Thankfully, when the fire broke out, your building wasn't damaged. But what sort of things have you had to do inside to get it back open again? Because it has sat there empty and unused for the past 6 months. What work have you guys been doing?
Fundamentally, when people arrive, they will have the same thing, which is that our central concept at its heart is all about, it's a Japanese idea around, it's called Ichigo Ichii, and it's about tea drinking ceremonies. And it's, you can drink the same tea with the same people in the same place, but you'll never have the same moment twice, so cherish it. And that is what we've always believed in, and so that will still be at the core of everything we do. But we have got a couple of surprises for people when they come in, but I'm afraid I'm not able to spill the tea about that. They're going to have to come and see it for themselves.
Fair enough. I will let you keep that a secret for people who are coming along. What's opening night going to be like?
Busy. Yeah, so we've sold out of all of our online tickets, and it's Indie Rock, so it's our flagship event. So that just felt the right night to open up on. We're just really excited to be able to give that offering back to our customers, because that's the one that I think has been missed the most.
And I guess timing is pretty good. It's the end of the summer, but we're going into the bank holiday weekend, and then of course you're going to have a lot of new students heading into Canterbury and wanting to check out your venue, aren't you?
Yes, we are very grateful that this all came together just before freshers. That would have been pretty stressful, not having that.
I'm not sure if you do want to put a figure on things, Louise, but do you know how much all of this has cost you over the past half of the year?
I do, actually. So we found, I was working through that yesterday. We were waiting for confirmation from our insurance. Our insurance, they have a caveat on the claim. So we've got really healthy business interruption insurance, which we pay a lot of money for. But because the business was interrupted through no fault of our own, we were refused admission access to our, denied access is the phrase, to our building. They've capped it. So they've covered us for about a tenth of what we lost, which by the time you take into account the decorating and the facelifting we've done, it's not going to be a good year financially. But as we learned earlier in the year, there are many more important things. We're just going to keep going on that basis.
You mentioned opening night, but are there any other things that you're particularly looking forward to and seeing people back enjoying themselves again?
Oh, yeah, we've got loads. I mean, because Tokyo is such a community venue, so we do a night for adults with learning difficulties. And, oh, it's just, it's lovely. And the people that come, they love it. They take such pleasure from it. So I can't wait to get them back in there. So they've been over at Chemistry, but they're really looking forward to going back to what they see as their home. We've got our next Indie Rock pre-sold tickets, they've all gone, but next week is going to be really busy as well. So looking forward to people coming back out and having the same experience. And then once Freshers starts, we've got a whole host, because we lost so many events last year, so we're just trying to get everybody back in.
And we must give a big shout out to your staff as well, because obviously they were left without a job as well when Tokyo had to close. They didn't have anywhere that they were going to turn up to work every week, which I know they would absolutely love to do. How has it been for them, and have you been able to welcome some of the same staff back again?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, to be honest with you, the gratitude extends to just everyone. So the staff team have just been phenomenal, and they've been patient. The management team have been outstanding. The local community have been outstanding. Our local public bodies, the police, the fire, the council, have all been brilliant. And the local business community, the support we've had from our guests and the local business community, we've been so humbled by. But the team, we were able to give as many of them as we could shifts at Chemistry. But yes, some of them are desperate to come back into Tokyo. We've got a guy that's worked with us for a few years who runs the bar in the garden, and it's his baby. He's very excited. Shout out to Talvin.
Kent Online reports.
A weather warning for thunderstorms across Kent has been extended. The yellow alert for heavy rain and flash flooding was meant to be lifted at 8 a.m, but it will now be in place until 10 tonight. We're being told we could also see lightning strikes and hail. This is one of our most read stories on the site today. The owners of a long-running cafe in Ashford say they've been forced to close following a decision to shut a local shopping centre. By the Tank opened in 2003 in St George's Square, right next to the now demolished Park Mall. Well, bosses say footfall has plummeted and they're having to shut for good. The council say they have offered additional support. Meantime, the owner of a sandwich bar and coffee shop claims his takings have been hit during work to create so-called pocket parks in Maidstone. The council are installing trees and seating in three parts of the town centre, but the boss of Chunky's in Union Street says it's cost him about £1,000 a week. A spokesman at the authority says the creation of the pocket park is a positive and forward-thinking investment which will transform areas of highway. It's costing more than £230,000. The flag at Medway Council will be lowered to half-mast today in tribute to former leader Rodney Chambers, who's died aged 83. The Conservative led the authority for 15 years and was awarded an OBE by the late Queen for services to local government. He's been remembered as a loyal friend and colleague and devoted family man. Now we can hear from the Royal British Legion next, who are looking for more volunteers to help them run their annual poppy appeal in Kent this year. The money raised goes to help veterans and other members of the armed forces. However, donations to charitable organisations have dropped in recent years due to the increased cost of living. I've been chatting to Graham Ferris, who's from the RBL.
The Royal British Legion is seeking volunteers all the time to help run its annual poppy appeal and to help raise funds to support veterans and members of the armed forces community. We in Kent, particularly in the Aylesford area, have recently had a poppy appeal organiser retire, and we need to fill that gap. Now, we have over 3,500 poppy appeal organisers around the country that support raising those funds. And yeah, we particularly need someone to come forward in the Aylesford area, which sort of includes Larkfield and Ditton, that would sort of step up and take this on. So it's quite a big role. It's not just standing there for a few hours. There's, in the organiser role, there's quite a bit of background work that needs to be done.
Perhaps you could go into a bit more detail about what the role would entail, because I'm sure someone would be keen to take it on, because you raise money for such an important cause. So tell us a bit more about the job spec, as it were.
Yeah, the job spec. Yes, it's not just 2 weeks. There's quite a lot of planning that's involved in getting the stock delivered out to the poppy appeal organiser, who then has to arrange through a network of volunteers that they will help recruit, and we do already have some anyway historically, to deliver the boxes of poppies to local schools, to shops, pubs, etc. They obviously need to build teams of volunteers to help cover supermarkets, because a lot of our poppy appeal income comes through the supermarkets, and we have three fairly large ones in that area. So yeah, I'll be finding some volunteers and groups to help do that. They'll be managing the contactless devices that we send out to our volunteers to use, and then of course after the appeal, it's about getting the collection tins back in, counting the money, banking the income, and obviously then doing all the paperwork behind the scenes to do with our sort of compliance. So yeah, there's a lot to the job itself. It is fairly full on, but it's a great volunteering opportunity for somebody who really wants to support the armed forces community. Whoever takes it on will of course be fully supported in the role, including training before the appeal and support and guidance along the way. We're very keen to support all our volunteers, and particularly our poppy appeal organisers.
I guess we're so used to, aren't we, seeing people at the end of October, early November, selling the poppies. But perhaps, do you think there needs to be a bit more of awareness as to the background to it and what goes into to doing that every single year?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. There's I don't want to put anyone off from actually coming to join the Poppy Appeal, but yeah, we do rely very much on the volunteer support. So somebody who takes on the Aylesford Poppy Appeal area may have a network of 20, 30 volunteers that support them. So it could be people that will deliver out boxes, as I said, or it might be doing 2 hour slots at supermarkets, etc. But some, you know, we need somebody, ideally a team. So it might be someone that knows somebody else that they can get to become what we call a deputy Poppy Appeal organizer as well. So it's very much a teamwork. So nobody should be left feeling that they're taking that burden on all themselves. You know, we are there to support them. And our Poppy Appeal manager, Phil Danton, would be delighted to hear from anyone in that Kent area that would like to hear more about it. He can be contacted via email, pdanton, that's pdanton, at britishlegion.org.uk. Or if anyone is interested in hearing more about volunteering for the Royal British Legion, they can call our dedicated helpline on 0345 845 1945, a nice easy one to remember, or going onto our website at rbl.org.uk.
Kent Online reports.
The reopening of Folkestone Sports Centre has been delayed after the site was targeted by vandals. It's been closed since 2024, but was supposed to partially open next month under new operators. However, there have been multiple break-ins resulting in substantial damage. Bosses say it's forced them to revisit their timeline. A new opening date is expected to be announced in the coming weeks. A fireworks display set to take place in Dartford has been cancelled over the risk of wildfires. The annual 1812 night at Swan Park tomorrow will instead feature a drone and special effects show. It's after the government issued an emergency alert about wildfires earlier this month. Experts have worked out that an extension to a famous Kent castle was made using recycled material from another one not far away. Dover Castle has now been linked to Sandown Castle in Deal, which was built during the reign of Henry VIII. A doctor from the Uni of Kent says it sheds more light on the history of the landmark near the White Cliffs. And a furniture store in North Kent that was badly damaged in a fire almost 7 years ago is going to be turned into a wine bar. Crews in eight engines were called to tackle the flames after the blaze broke out in Farningham Oak in November 2019. Work is now underway at the 18th Century Barn. We're told the new venue will also be a tea room during the day and have a shop too.
Kent Online Sports.
Going to start off with football, and Ebbsfleet United have been told their suspension from playing in the National League has been extended. A committee's met to discuss the club's future and say a tax bill still hasn't been paid and a winding up order remains in place. The side have missed four games of the season so far. Matches against Farnborough on Saturday and Horsham on Bank Holiday Monday will also be postponed. On to boxing, and Kent's Moses Atalma has been described as being a million times better than Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury by one of the sports legends. Prince Nassim Hamed has backed the young heavyweight from Chatham ahead of his world title bout. The 21-year-old is the favourite to take the belt in London on Saturday. On to cricket now. Former Kent player Jordan Cox has kept his place in the England side for the second test against Pakistan. The 25-year-old, who was born in Margate, impressed in the first game after hitting 73. England won by an innings and 103 runs to lead the series 1-0. And staying with cricket, it's a trip to Northamptonshire for Kent in the county championship. It follows their 46-run win away at Middlesex last time out. Kent are currently second in the Division 2 table, with this week's opposition just one place below them. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials, plus you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.